Well, we can't go from the triumphant Hosanna of Palm Sunday to the glorious Jesus is alive of Easter Sunday without wading through some dark moments that happened in between. You know, it's tempting to jump from the big parade of last week with the children and the palms and skip over the parts in the middle that are just plain uncomfortable. But then we miss out on the joy and the hope of Easter. Last Sunday, Palm Sunday, we looked at Jesus' triumphant entry into the city of Jerusalem on a donkey at the beginning of Passover. Passover, as you remember, was Israel's annual celebration of their liberation from Egypt. The story is told in the Old Testament book of Exodus, and central to the story are lambs. Now, lambs played a major role in the Old Testament sacrificial system. The offering of a lamb symbolically atoned for the sins of the people and made them right with God. Scripture tells us that the angel of death came to Egypt and killed the firstborn sons. And God instructed every household of the Israelite people to select a year-old male lamb without any blemishes. The lamb had to be male, and it couldn't have a limp, it couldn't have any blindness, it couldn't have any blemish of any kind. And the lamb was to be taken into the home for 4 days prior to its sacrifice to be observed and examined for any defects. At the end of the 4 days, it was customary for the head of the household to rise up and to declare the lamb clean. And at this point, the lamb was legally acceptable as a Passover offering. And then the lamb was killed, and they were supposed to apply some of the lamb's blood to the tops and the sides of the door frame of their house. It would have looked something like this. The lamb itself was roasted on a rod horizontally and another rod inserted vertically, forming a cross. Any home with the blood of the lamb would be protected. The blood would notify the angel of death to pass over the house, hence the term Passover. Scripture describes it this way. If you have your Bible or Bible app, turn with me to Exodus 12:23. For the Lord will pass through the land to strike down the Egyptians. But when he sees the blood on the top and the sides of the doorframe, the Lord will pass over your home. He will not permit his death angel to enter your house and strike you down. In essence, the lamb was the protector of the Israelites and also seen as their atoner. And it was because of the blood of the lamb that they would be spared death. So the Passover celebration was the yearly remembrance of God saving them, rescuing them, death literally passing them over at the command of God. This is why Jesus and his disciples went to Jerusalem that Palm Sunday for the Passover celebration. And in remembrance of the Passover, there was still a sacrifice of lambs and the traditions to be adhered to. Jesus entered Jerusalem on Lamb Selection Day. 5 days before a lamb was to be sacrificed, it was chosen. And it was on Lamb Selection Day that Jesus entered the city of Jerusalem riding a donkey to shouts of Hosanna. Jesus' teachings and actions threatened the authority of the religious leadership. He taught about love and forgiveness and grace and peace. And he made the super religious people angry because he challenged their rules and their traditions. And Jesus had gained a significant following, enough that some of the leaders conspired to kill him. Because of that, Jesus was arrested and treated as an enemy of the state. In the 4 days leading up to his execution, Jesus was examined for any blemishes, for defects in his theology, for his understanding of Scripture by the scribes, the Pharisees, Pontius Pilate, the Roman governor. Look at what Pontius Pilate said about Jesus, John 18:38. "What is truth?" Pilate asked. Then he went out again to the people and told him, "He is not guilty of any crime." You keep reading John 19:4, and it says this, "Pilate went outside again and said to the people, 'I am going to bring him out now, but understand clearly that I find him not guilty.'" Continue, John 19:6. "When they saw him, the leading priests and temple guards began shouting, 'Crucify him, crucify him. Take him yourselves and crucify him,' Pilate said. 'I find him not guilty.'" Remember in the Passover, the head of the household would be the one to declare the lamb acceptable without any blemish or defect? Well, essentially, Pilate, as the governor, was the head of the household. And Pilate declared Jesus clean, not just once, but three times. He's referring to the spiritual purity of Jesus. He had committed no sin. He was without defect. At this point, Jesus met the requirements necessary to make him legally acceptable as the Passover lamb. Think about it this way. Jesus entered Jerusalem on lamb selection day, but this time it was the Lamb of God who was selected. The Lamb of God, Jesus, was examined. That was when Jesus was questioned, and they were looking for holes in his understanding of God and God's word. At the end of the 4 days, the head of the household, which was Pilate as governor, stood up, declared Jesus clean, not just once, but on three separate occasions. But Pilate wanted to avoid a political crisis. And so when an uprising started to brew, he condemned Jesus to death. The Roman mode of execution for non-Roman citizens was often crucifixion on a cross, a prolonged form of torture where the victim is nailed until he dies. Now, the cross has become one of the most widely used symbols, recognized symbols of Christianity in the world. It marks graves, it sits on top of churches, it decorates jewelry, it's everywhere. But the truth is this, the cross is an ancient, ugly torture device. It would be like having an electric chair or a guillotine as a symbol. The cross was a humiliating means of execution. It was customary during crucifixion to break the leg bones of the person a few hours into it to hasten their death. The soldiers broke the legs of the other two men who were hanging with Jesus, but they did not break Jesus' legs. Remember how the sacrificial lamb would have no bones broken? Jesus' bones weren't broken either, but they pierced Jesus' side with a spear so that the last remaining drops of his blood poured out. And after 6 hours of agony and suffering, Jesus died on a Friday afternoon on a crude cross. Jesus was crucified on Passover, on the very day in the tradition of Passover that the lamb would be sacrificed. That fact alone is amazing because Jesus could have been crucified on any other day of the year, but he wasn't. For the previous 1,200 years, the priest would blow a ram's horn at 3 o'clock, the moment the lamb was to be sacrificed on that very day, and all the people would pause to contemplate the sacrifice of sins on behalf of the people of Israel. It was at 3 o'clock on that day that Jesus was being crucified. The sacrifice of Jesus, the Lamb of God, was fulfilled at the hour that the symbolic animal sacrifice usually took place. Jesus died mid-afternoon on a Friday, and the Sabbath began at sunset. The Jewish law permitted no work on the Sabbath, which meant that they couldn't bury the body that night or the next day. They'd have to wait until Sunday. And so the body was hastily embalmed just after the Sabbath began, and it was wrapped in bandages on which 100 pounds of myrrh had been spread. The tomb was closed with a huge stone, and soldiers were put on guard for 3 days. The officials were afraid that Jesus' disciples would come and steal the body, and they sealed it with their official seal. The huge stone was pushed, and it blocked the entrance to the tomb. They took every precaution against theft and fraud. That was Friday, a day of darkness, a day of death, a day of grief. Saturday is not talked about as much as Friday or Sunday. It's the day after. It's the day before. It's the day in between despair and joy, the day between confusion and clarity, the day between bad news and good news. On Saturday, the followers of Jesus thought they were the survivors of a broken cause. They were beaten down. They were disappointed. Saturday was the day of prayers that they thought had gone unanswered. It was the day they woke up and realized that someone in their midst had betrayed them and Jesus. It was the day that they thought their dream had died, but they had to go on. We've all experienced a Saturday. You lose your job. Your health takes a turn that's not good. You lose someone you love. You make mistakes that impact someone else, and you're drowning in disappointment. That's the hopelessness of Saturday, which brings us to the third day, Sunday, the day we call Easter. Matthew 28, 1 through 10 tells us this. After the Sabbath at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know what you are looking for, Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, he has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you." So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly Jesus meets them. "Greetings," he says. They came to him, they clasped his feet, and they worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." This man, not just another rabbi, not just another teacher, his resurrection, his victory over death changed all of that. It gave the final proof that he really was the Son of God. Jesus, who loved the sick and the poor, who spent time with sinners, who spoke of God as his Father, who called us and still calls us to radical grace. For God to raise up Jesus from the dead confirmed God's approval of everything that Jesus had ever done and everything that Jesus had ever said. And just as the Passover lamb's blood caused the angel of death to pass over every household, Christ's blood causes God's judgment to pass over sinners. Because you see, we've all been redeemed by Jesus. He is our Passover lamb. The death of Christ marks our release from the slavery of sin. The first Passover marked the Hebrews' release from Egyptian slavery. But you see, now we are released too. 1 Peter 1, 18 to 19 says this, "For you know that God paid a ransom to save you from the empty life you inherited from your ancestors, and the ransom he paid was not mere gold or silver. It was the precious blood of Christ, the sinless, spotless Lamb of God. So on Easter, we gather as a community of believers to enter into the story, to enter into the scriptures. Jesus lived, Jesus died, and on the third day he rose again. He outlasted and outmaneuvered and outthought every group that ever challenged him. But more than that, he just outloved everybody. Now, wouldn't that be something? If that's at the end of your life, what people say about you, they outloved everyone. They reflected Christ. Jesus fulfilled the Old Testament sacrificial system. He became the once and for all offering for our sins, the Lamb of God. And just like those doors before that were covered with blood as a form of protection, we are now covered by the blood of Jesus. And now when we look at this cross, a symbol of death and darkness and pain and hopelessness, the cross changes. Because through the resurrection of Jesus, the cross was transformed from a symbol of pain to a symbol of hope. I know that many of you brought flowers from home this morning. If you didn't, we have extras up here. I'm going to ask the band and the choir to start making their way to the stage. And I want you to think about this. We're going to flower this cross. And together as a church, together as followers of Jesus Christ, I want you to have a visual of us transforming this symbol of pain into something new and something beautiful. Because I wanted to remind you this morning, this Easter morning, that we are made new because God saved us, not through his death, but through his resurrection. Come forward. We'll start in the back and come to the front. If the ushers will help, please. Jesus is still resurrecting us. He's taking things that are ugly and painful, and he's turning them into things that are beautiful with each and every one of us. Traditionally in the church, on Easter Sunday, the leader says, "He is risen," and the crowd responds, "He has risen indeed." And so I want you to go today knowing that he is risen indeed. Happy Easter.